Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I am your host, Jeffrey Wright. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But we're now also live streaming with video on Twitch, YouTube, and of course, X, the Everything app. Just go look for the 92.9 FM ESPN official page, and you can click on the link to stream us live anytime, anywhere. Also streaming audio only on the Odyssey app, as well as the iHeartRadio app and the TuneIn Radio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can find him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey. How are you, sir?
I am well, my man. Let's welcome to the program our company each and every week. He's the host of VSiN's College Football and College Basketball Betting Podcast. He's the host of the VSiN College Football Betting Tailgate Show, VSiN Primetime, airing on weeknights. Follow him on the Everything app at 1Tim Murray. Make sure you download the VSiN Watch app. Tim, good day, sir.
Hello, sir. How are you? Cool news, man. I know. I imagine you guys talked about it yesterday, but a belated congratulations to you and this program.
Well, we appreciate that. It's bittersweet for me because obviously going to one show a day is on a personal level for like schedule. Everything is significantly better, but I am definitely going to miss working with Jeff every single day. I don't know. Who'd you read every day? Kornheiser, Wilbon? You had a couple of decent ones to read probably every day.
Yeah, those were the two guys growing up in the D.C. area for sure.
And for me, it's reading Jeff. I mean, we had other columnists that I read early, but I mean, most of my entire life, it's reading Jeff, and then working with Jeff for 9 years has been awesome. So it's a bummer on that front, but man, from a lifestyle argument, it's certainly going to be better. And I kind of think, you know, most people do three-hour radio shows. We're kind of unique in we've had the two-hour format here. So it'll be nice to get back and working like the rest of everyone in our business does. So we'll start that next week. Heads up, 10 a.m. your time.
I actually like it better, to be honest.
Good.
Man.
That's great to hear.
You know, it's funny. I read it wrong initially, and I was like, uh-oh, this is going to be tough for me. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, time change. 10 to 1, perfect for me. So 12 to 3, your time, 10 to 1 for me. And it's funny because of the – college football playoff schedule being a little wacky with the holidays, and then this week with Thursday, Friday, I've had to shift my podcast. So I was like, ooh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it this week. You said, no,
yeah,
it starts next week.
I told you, beautiful. When you're like, yeah, boy, because I struggled with the, we tried to keep it under wraps, and I was like, so I didn't really reach out until.
He didn't tell me, folks.
The only person that knew was Kevin Cerrito, because at one point he was by me while it was being discussed. So he found out that way, and then he's also basically he's my radio sounding board, local radio sounding board. So let's talk some college football. We'll do that next. We'll recap, of course, the semifinals, hand out some awards from the semifinals. You know, as much as we can with four games, but I did think each game was interesting in its own right. Hour number
and
two.
FCS national championship.
Holy special teams.
What?
Listen, from someone who is a specialist, they do matter, people. And that's the worst part about being a special teamer. You only, unless you're a kicker, like Lucas Caniero is having a pretty good run right now. I'd say life is good for him, but mostly as a specialist, you are only known if you screw up. And last night, I think, was the exact reminder of that.
Well, I mean, back-to-back days of elite special teams meltdowns when you think back to Ravens Steelers and then what unfolded last night.
At least Ravens Steelers was missing of the kick.
It's true. It was a full-on malfunction.
Correct.
Everywhere.
Correct. That was what I know everybody was watching last Monday night, but Tim and I were, because it was a heck of a game. I mean, Montana State jumps out to the big lead, then Illinois State just keeps fighting back, and then they left it up to the kickers, baby. That's why you always score touchdowns, Tim. We got to score touchdowns in the red zone. Fourth and one, they should have gone for it.
Couple things about that game last night. By the way,
I don't know if I actually believe that, but I actually did.
Well, Montana State also didn't call a timeout, which I thought was moronic. They just let 35 seconds go off the clock. It didn't matter because they blocked the field goal. But
well, I was almost wondering if he was saving it to ice the kicker, but that made absolutely no sense.
I'm like, timeout. They're not going to go for it. Timeout.
And well, especially on top of that, Montana State's passing game's not exactly explosive. I mean, that guy maybe
unless it's the end of the first half.
Right, but his arm strength is negative.
Correct. Yeah, Justin Correct. Lampson, who a couple things about last night, and I know we're not going to go in-depth crazy, but
We already have.
I love the fact that it was by itself. A couple years ago, the dopes over at ESPN scheduled it head-to-head with a NFL game. I'm like, well, no one's going to watch this, i.e. to my D3 brothers. Shout out, no one watched you guys on Sunday night, UW River Falls, hell of a win there.
First ever national title, right?
Yeah, hadn't been in the NCAA tournament since 96, and they won that does not happen.
D3 matters to me.
Yeah. But I thought it was cool that it was Island game last night. Well done. The crowd was awesome.
I was blown. Like, Illinois State, you can understand. Like, okay, that is drivable. I guess the Montana State fan base, like, they can reasonably just be like, you know what? We're penciling in this Monday. Because this is a huge thing. Listen, cry all the fans that are a river for having to go and make it work to go see a semifinal. But I do know the Ole Miss crew has had a difficult time logistically figuring out a way to get to Phoenix.
Sure. And from what I had heard, What's the main street in Nashville?
That would be Broadway. Broadway is dark tonight.
Apparently, Bozeman was Bozeman East. They took over that place. But
something
Illinois State was
tells
there.
Me the Montana folk might be able to throw a couple back.
You think? I tell you what, FCS fans of the elite programs, we're talking the Dakotas, Montanas, I bet you they all can get after it pretty good.
I mean, honestly, you really think Wisconsin River Falls can't get after it?
Damn right, baby. So, I mean, their
starting quarterback and running back, or was it receiver? They're bartenders. That was unbelievable.
D3, baby. That's right. And lastly, I'll say about this, like, don't you think last night was a pretty good audition tape for the Illinois State receiver who had like 11 catches for 163 and Taco Dowler All these dudes are going to be in the portal. Justin Lamson, who was at Stanford, goes to Montana. Like, they're all going to be probably, let's be honest, overpaid, but good for them. I enjoyed everything about that game last
night. For God's sakes, I don't know if you've heard this, Tim. The former Ferris State quarterback is about to be in a semifinal.
No, I haven't heard that. Really?
Yeah. Trinidad Chambliss.
Oh, I didn't know where he was at prior.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Huh.
So
did his coach leave?
Maybe. Although, I think that's actually helped Ole Miss. Not in the sense of you lose what, in my opinion, is an elite coach. I think in terms of casuals, I think it makes the story more appealing.
Can I ask you? I want to ask you this question. I know a lot of Ole Miss fans are listening in, so it would be a skewed poll just to the listeners. But who do you think the nation wants to win?
This is an interesting question because it's also an interesting question locally, because there are plenty of Memphis fans that will, not even affectionately, but like openly refer to Ole Miss as Ole Piss. Like they got no love in their heart for them, and I respect it. Like if you've got hate in your heart, like you let it out. That's what makes rivalries. That's what makes everything in sports fun. But I do think the way Lane has handled everything, I do think it has made Ole Miss more sympathetic. With that being said, like, I don't know. This is the interesting thing about Indiana. They should be the obvious, overwhelming, like, you don't have a dog in the fight, right? They should be the obvious choice. But for some reason, they don't necessarily feel like it. I think, honestly, even though he's less annoying than he was last year, and let's be clear, if Cignetti said he was coming to run your program, everybody, I think, would, other than maybe Georgia and maybe Oregon, I think everybody's bending over backwards saying, please, God, come. But he's still not, like, the most likable guy.
Oh, he's definitely, I mean, he's, I won't utilize the word, but I had a discussion on one of the bowl games I was going to, our color analyst, my buddy Mike Sanford, longtime OC.
Love Mike. He's been on the show.
We'll get him on to talk Broncos maybe next week because he's now in Denver.
Is he a believer?
Yeah, I think he's getting
okay,
there.
So that's the right answer. The right answer is, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
What choice? I've got some Broncos fans in my life, and they're just like, he wins, man. I was like,
We talked, we had some frank conversations, and look, he was not a believer.
No.
Entering the draft by any stretch of the imagination. I think he just, you know, your typical gamer, all of that nonsense, but
he's a winner, baby.
We'll ask.
I've told
that.
You my joke, right?
No.
He's new Tebow. He sucks, but he actually kind of wins. Well, it's a different fashion, but it's the same thing. It's a lot of, like, avoiding.
He's not throwing a sideways pass in the air.
But it's a lot of avoiding sacks. It's, like, scrambling out and then, like, making plays late.
I mean, there's a reason you just got up to 3 hours. It's for takes like that. Right?
Well, we haven't even dropped Cuban Cousins yet.
But going back to the conversation we were having, we were talking about what makes a good coach. He's like, you know, I ended up not being a good college coach because I'm not a
He's a normal human being.
Well, I'm not a bleep donut hole, if you will. I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
We can say a-hole.
Okay.
And so, we can say ass.
We went through.
But we cannot say.
We can't put them together.
Correct.
Yeah. So I didn't know we were allowed to say a-hole. But we just kind of went through coaches and we're like, and I was like, Cignetti. He's like, oh my God. Yeah. It's like, yeah, that's what he is. But he wins. And like, look at, I'll be honest, like, not to go down the portal hole here, but like, look what he did with the portal. He basically told all these dudes, Nick Marsh from Michigan State, all these, hey, you guys got to make a decision now. Are you coming or not?
Well, and I mean, like, honestly, okay. I'm kind of now using Cignetti to like prove my point. I've always kind of had the Josh Hoover gene, and that's been kind of a lonely-ish island. And I acknowledge Josh has got some flaws. Like, Josh will.
Cignetti might lose his bleep on him next year when he's throwing those picks, though. He loves to throw it to the other team.
He loves to lock on a he loves to lock on, and he's got full confidence that he can make any throw.
Oh yeah, he definitely has. He definitely has confidence.
He is very different than Fernando Mendoza. I will tell you that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so this is what I wanted to discuss. What have we actually learned so far throughout the playoffs and throughout the season? Because I was kind of kicking around this idea. Anecdotally, are we seeing college basketball, like tournament brain, actually working in college football tournament brain, get old, stay old? Because if you look at the rosters, George and I went through Miami's and Ole Miss's. And if you, like, I think Malachi Toney being so young overwhelms you, like, and you think, like, oh, they're young. They are redshirt senior, 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 senior. That is an old, old football team with Malachi Toney. And then on defense, the same thing. They're pretty old. They have a couple of, I think there's a couple of sophomore corners. A couple of their DBs are either sophomores or redshirt sophomores. But it's mostly juniors or seniors and guys that have played a ton of football. If you go and you look at, like, Ole Miss, Ole Miss has a sophomore at running back, I think a third-year sophomore at center, and there's another younger guy on the O-line. Maybe another sophomore at one of the guards. Kudus is a senior.
Kudus is a senior. Diego Pounds is a senior.
But that's what I'm kind of wondering, because anecdotally, it's like you think about Ohio State, they seemed like a younger team. You think about Georgia, it's a younger team. And that's where I'm actually interested in all of this, because I'm not trying to say let's take one sample set of a playoff and say that should be a formula. But I do think it seems clear to me nobody's figured out the right roster construction yet. Like, what's the right mix? Because it seems obvious to me, and maybe Ole Miss will prove everybody wrong, but going entirely portal feels like that's maybe not the greatest formula. It can make you very good very quickly, but can it win you a national title? That remains to be seen throughout two more games. But I look across the board, and it's like the teams that we have left are these older teams. And even if you think back to Ohio State last year, while they had some sophomores that were skill guys, what was really, you know, what was noticeable about them was how old of a team they were. And so that's what I'm kind of wondering is maybe that the lesson you have to kind of get old and stay old like we talk about in college hoops?
So I was thinking about this the other day regarding Indiana, because they made the big splash this weekend in the portal, right, with getting their new quarterback, getting Nick Marsh, a couple other pieces. But then I thought about it, and I'm like, okay, technically you could say Indiana is very portal heavy, but it was also just a lot of pieces that Cignetti brought with him,
right,
from James Madison.
Guys that he thought could play at the next level.
Aiden Fisher, technically he's a portal guy, but he groomed him at JMU, right? You know, I think Indiana, I wouldn't say is built in the portal. Like, Ole Miss is pretty built in the portal, right?
George, is there a homegrown player? Perkins on defense is homegrown.
Yep.
Eccles
is.
Xavian is, right?
I believe so. That sounds right.
I think we're talking under five guys that really play are homegrown.
Right. So you've got Ole Miss put together by the portal. Oregon, I would say, is more homegrown. They do go to the portal. Dante Moore is a portal guy. They kind of go the route that Ohio State and Notre Dame, they build through high school recruiting, but they will sprinkle in.
They fill in the gaps, the holes,
and they spend big, right?
Yeah.
So they go big game hunting in the portal, like they did last year with Dylan Gabriel. Then they bring in Dante Moore as well. You know, Miami, I think they're a little bit more homegrown than people would anticipate, right? Because Carson Beck was a portal guy.
They get overshadowed because it seems like what they have decided is, rather than try to evaluate a young quarterback, they're just going to go portal quarterback.
Which I
don't know if that's necessarily a bad idea.
I don't think that's the worst idea, right?
Now, you have to be very rich to do it.
Yes. I mean, you're spending $5-6 million, as we're seeing with Texas Tech. I mean, by the way, quick aside, It was the most obvious thing in the history of the world when you watch that disastrous offensive performance that no team was going to overspend Texas Tech at the quarterback position this year in the portal.
Okay, I agree with you on that. Are we sure Sorsby's the one? Because like I've found,
I'm not saying that he is. I'm just saying no one was going to overspend.
No, I'm with you. I don't know. I found myself on this weird. I'm kind of the reverse Daniel Jones when the Giants drafted Daniel. I'm like, oh god, this is my living hell. And then when I saw everyone trying to blame him for everything, I'm like, this is not all his fault. It's kind of the same thing with Sorsby. I was like, I kind of think this kid's pretty good. But because everybody saw him throw one pick against Nebraska on that Thursday night, everyone thinks he stinks. But now I'm sitting there going like, is this really the number one quarterback in the portal? Like, am I insane for thinking I'd rather have Leavitt?
I'd rather have Leavitt.
If I'm going to be spending that kind of cash.
Leavitt's done it before. And I know he had Scataboo and he had Tyson. Actually, he didn't have Tyson last year in the playoffs, right?
No, remember Tyson was out for the
Big 12 championship, yeah. And then the playoffs.
Yeah, because we talked ourselves into Iowa State.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I would rather have Leavitt, but I mean, whatever. I think it is a
Miami's. I'm looking at it right now. Miami is very homegrown on the lines of scrimmage.
Right. Reuben Bain's homegrown. I believe Mesidor is homegrown. Yeah, they went to the portal for a lot of the secondary pieces.
I think Mesidor.
Is Mesidor a transfer?
Yeah, but like he's been there multiple years.
Okay.
Because I want to say he was at WVU, West Virginia.
I'm looking at Ole Miss now.
Like Fletcher's homegrown.
Ole Miss is a little bit more.
There's a few more than I thought.
Ole Miss is probably six or seven guys.
There's a few more. Tyler Banks on defense, Cam Franklin, Bryson Sanders, that center that we were just talking about. Caden Lee. I don't know how we kind of missed him, but there's a few more than
he's been there so long he feels like a transfer.
Kind of, yeah. There's a few more in here than I fully expected, but a lot of like the big impact guys are transfer guys.
But like
now, Miami, Keontae Scott, the kid who had the pick six, he's Auburn, transferred
awesome.
In this year. The leading tacklers from Rutgers. So yeah, they do. I would say, and you were right. Mesidor's been there for 4 years, but he did start at West Virginia.
But like you know what I mean? Like it's not even necessarily to me. I think we need kind of separate categories of portal, because when you can get these portal guys that have 3 years or, hell, 4 years of eligibility, I think that's a lot different than going and getting essentially a guy for 1 year. Because essentially, you have the opportunity to actually like build around them. It's almost kind of, I would kind of view it a lot like the highest level high school recruit is so expensive. If I'm somebody that doesn't have the deepest pockets, I'm kind of looking that way.
Sure. Well, and that's the thing too, is now you're looking at like, you know, teams that recruit well, Ohio State, Oregon, USC, Notre Dame, etc. It's not like they're getting these high school kids for free.
No. In fact, honestly, it'll remain to be seen whether or not he was right or wrong. Like I think Ole Miss is going to go back to more high school recruiting. I'm not saying they're abandoning what they're doing, but Kiffin largely had the philosophy of high school guys are expensive, and Kiffin historically doesn't really play guys super young. Like he wants guys to know where they are and know what they're doing, and so it lends itself to older players. So he doesn't want just dead money sitting on the bench. You pay basically. You're paying for them to go transfer somewhere else. Again, there are schools that figure out ways to keep the guys, but like, I do think that there is some of that going along.
Yeah, that's the unique aspect is, you know, keeping these players is pretty damn expensive too. You're just not hearing maybe as much about it as, hey, Texas Tech just spent $5 million in
right
the
because the agents of retention aren't posting the numbers
right. And the schools don't really want to post it either. They just want, yeah, of course they're staying here. We got a great culture.
No, they just want to just tweet out re-signed.
That's the weirdest thing we've got going on right now.
Weirder than Shams yesterday announcing a potential trade with Trae Young and then naming multiple agents?
I miss Woj.
Uh-huh. Information brokers, people. Information brokers. So, again, I bring all that up not to say, like, oh, this is how you do it. And I understand that maybe that's what I should be saying. But I am genuinely curious if, like, I think we made the mistake last year of just thinking Ohio State's so overwhelmingly talented of missing the other part of it was they were overwhelmingly talented. What was it, 14 draft picks? What was the number? It was insane.
Yeah. 14, I think.
And that doesn't even include receivers that they have that were fresh, you know, not young guys that weren't even draft eligible. So, but that team was very old, particularly on defense, and that's kind of what I'm wondering if these teams like the Georgias and the Ohio States of the world, are they going to have to go maybe more portal heavy than they want to? I'm not saying they need to become portal teams, but do you have to, like, basically they use it to fill in like massive deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
But do you need, like, hey, if our offensive line is going to average 20 years old, like, do we maybe need to go get two or three portal guys? And I understand that's a catch 22 because, well, what do you, more than likely, those sophomores that you have are probably going to be the more talented guys. Do you really just let them go?
Yeah, the offense. I feel like the lines of scrimmage is always the challenge, right?
Yes.
The price point for a defensive lineman.
I'm a little more iffy on defensive line because I do think you can just be a stud and game wreck. But oftentimes, those type of guys that just rely on natural God-given ability to game wreck, you can sometimes take advantage of them because they get out of position. But I think it seems obvious to me if you're going to try to have an offensive line of sophomores and freshmen, that feels dangerous.
Like, you look at Indiana, I think something that is clear about Kirk Cignetti is he's a marvelous talent evaluator.
Yes,
right?
Clearly.
Like, they're getting dudes from Kent State. That's why I'm curious about next year, because this time around, they're getting... I mean, Mendoza was a big name, but go back and look at the 247 transfer portal rankings. He was like 22nd. I mean, he was high up there, but he was like seventh.
I'm also willing to say, like, Kurt Cignetti might be a better quarterback evaluator than the recruiting industry, and that's not even that's not even to poke fun at the recruiting industry. I was a part of that. I think it is. Listen, it's clearly the hardest position to evaluate because even the National Football League can't get it right.
But my point is,
yes, he was not.
Cignetti now is not.
But also look at what
that.
Mendoza's options were.
Where else was he looking? Was he
Georgia?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying that Mendoza was some jabroni. Like, they spent big and they got him, and we knew he would be pretty good. But going back to the offensive line thing, I mean, the guy who won Rose Bowl MVP is a transfer, but it's rare to get high-level offensive line transfers. It's not impossible. You got to pay a lot for it. But Pat Coogan was a unique situation where Notre Dame basically told him, hey, you're not assured the starting job next year. We like Ashton Craig a little bit better. We'd like you to stay. And then he's like, or I could go get seven figures at a team that was in the playoff. And ultimately, Indiana won that trade. But I think to your overall point regarding the lines of scrimmage, it is, you kind of have to build those bad boys up from the start, right? Bring them in, get your culture, start up, you know, get the meat on the bones, all of that. So I think offensive line is a challenge to build it from that standpoint. But I mean, a lot of the supplemented pieces can be found in the portal. That's for sure.
Well, I think that's kind of the other question. Let's see. I was trying to think about Bud Elliott's blue chip ratio. All right.
This is going to break that thing. If Indiana wins it, right?
So Bama is one, done. Ohio State, Georgia, A&M. The top four are out. Oregon is still alive. Texas, LSU, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Penn State. Miami's at 64%, so that's a possibility. Florida, Auburn, Michigan, USC, Clemson, Tennessee, Florida State. Now, he notes that he thinks, now this was obviously before the coaching change, Ole Miss was on the cusp, but to your point about Indiana, they are not.
I think they're, are they, because Bud does not include transfers.
Correct. But, no, it's like he doesn't include highly ranked transfers. If it was a transfer, I think he includes, like, if you were a 4 or 5 star and you transfer. I think that's how the, I think that's the methodology. Because, you know, like, for instance, Mendoza was, what, a 2-star out of high school?
Yeah.
He would have been considered, what, a 4-star transfer prospect? Do you see the distinction that I'm making? I think the blue chip ratio is like strictly based on what you were as an elite prospect.
Fernando Mendoza was a 4-star transfer prospect. Yep.
Okay, so then we get to the composite, the team talent composite rank. Georgia out, Bama out, Ohio State out, Texas out, Oregon in, LSU out, Clemson out, A&M out, Notre Dame out, Penn State out. The thing that is interesting to me, you have almost as many what spectacular flameouts as you do teams that were actually playoff contenders. Because Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, Oregon all make it. Mm-hmm. And A&M. So I guess is that 5? But then some of the most disappointing teams of the year are LSU, Clemson, Penn State, and I don't know what to do with Texas.
I mean, they ended
Texas
up
Texas was disappointing,
what?
Considering they were the number one. They were the number one team preseason. I think they had the best odds to win the title, but they went 9-3. It wasn't like that. They did not have the type of collapse that some of the other teams have. And Notre Dame, I'm not like Notre Dame lost one game they shouldn't have, or you know what I mean? Like they made one fewer play than they shouldn't have. And I do think the larger discussion now is, should we have the protections for championship game participants? Because essentially Alabama was in because they were the quote-unquote regular season SEC champion, and they were in the SEC championship game. Anyone that watched the championship game goes, Notre Dame should be in ahead of them. Because like that was exactly – this is, I'm not even trying to like pick at your scab here. I felt this all along. If you asked me who I thought was better, Notre Dame or Alabama, I would have told you Notre Dame. I still would have said, if you're making me predict which team gets in, I would have predicted Alabama.
I would have predicted it prior to the game, and then when the game unfolded, I really thought...
Because of the blowout?
Just the blowout and how bad they looked, that they were... Because last year, when SMU lost by 3, it was, well, they didn't get blown out. If they had gotten blown out, I think
the committee even said, had the game ended at half, this would have been a different discussion.
Right. So, like, if SMU got left out last year, maybe Alabama gets left out. Who knows? I also think if Virginia beats Duke, maybe Miami doesn't get in. I think that's a possibility, too.
Well, the reason why I bring it up is there's almost, like, if you look at it this way, we all knew Miami was the best team in the ACC. Now, this works both ways. They had a chance to earn it on the field, didn't do it. Now, part of the reason they did not do it is because of stupid tiebreakers, but they did lose 2 games that they shouldn't have lost.
Correct.
Like, you can lose one of them, and they would have been fine. Right. But you lose both of them, and then you leave it up to the judges, and the judges can, you know.
Well, it's kind of, and to that point, it kind of goes back to Notre Dame, right? Should they have gotten in based off of power ratings and how they were playing?
Probably.
But they left it up to the judges because they lost 2 games. If they won one of those games, they would have been in at 11-1, probably hosted a playoff game. So it is like, you know.
And the other thing you have to factor in with Notre Dame is, of their 2 losses, one was to, of the 3 teams that were under consideration for 2 spots, it was one of those teams.
Look, I know it's January 6th, we're moving on from it, but like, I do think, and I said it here, I said it on my show, I think it was actually good for the sport that Miami got in on Notre Dame. And that's not playing the hits now because Miami's in the semifinals. Games have to matter. I just thought, why the hell is Alabama getting this bye into here? And look, I know I cherry-picked and I did what I shouldn't do, but the SEC hasn't really played all that well postseason-wise, have they? So
no, they haven't. But I guess this is the other question is how much stock should that matter? Because I'm not even doing the SEC thing of, oh, bowl games don't matter. I do think you we almost have to come up with a formula and determine whether or not that loss really counted. So, like, for instance, Vandy losing to Iowa, that one counted.
Oh, yeah.
Vandy showed up. Vandy tried to play. Iowa beat him on the field. I kind of think Illinois, Tennessee, that one should count. Like,
I agree.
But am I really going to sit there and say Mississippi State?
Yeah, Mississippi
Wake
State
Forest,
Wake was weird. I mean,
Missouri, what was that game?
They got held to 7 points, man.
I know, but what was the game?
It was the Gator Bowl. Against Virginia. They lost 13.
Yeah, okay. Oh, that was an all-time disgusting game. I don't know what to do with LSU. Like LSU Houston?
LSU, I'll say I'd actually take LSU out of it. They were depleted.
But I think what you can say is the team with a couple of SEC losses gets a benefit of the doubt that I'm not sure is still merited.
Right, and I think, you know, you look at the team who didn't get the benefit of the doubt, and they probably didn't deserve it, which is BYU, right? Because Texas Tech went out and laid a turd against Oregon. And
Baron
BYU,
Morton laid a turd.
And yeah, their defense.
More on that in a moment.
Their defense is nasty. But
second best playoff performance defensive EPA.
From Texas Tech?
Yep.
So, I don't know. I mean, I still would have, as a Notre Dame fan, I would have loved to see it there in the Rose Bowl. I think overall, are we getting to the point where the SEC doesn't deserve the blind benefit of the doubt like they've gotten in recent years? I think we're getting to that point of discussing it. But I also think playing the last place team in the SEC, like a Mississippi State on the road, is a lot more challenging than going to Northwestern,
yeah,
or Maryland,
it's,
or Rutgers. You know what I'm saying?
It's where I struggle because,
like, there's no fan base at Maryland or at Rutgers
and as bad as Mississippi State was, quote unquote, or like Arkansas. Yeah. Let's use Arkansas because Mississippi State was not that bad this year. Mississippi State had, what, three games that they could easily won that they're a bowl team without having to be a 5-7 bowl team. But let's use Arkansas as an example. Like, there's still money in the program. There's still people that will fill up the building. And there was still a quarterback that is a legitimately good college quarterback. That is very different than going and playing Purdue.
Correct.
But should that... I don't know. This is where I think this is the target we need to hit. We need to start being a little more judicious on who you've beaten rather than what conference you're in and what's your record. Now, on the flip side, you could also say this. At the time of selection, probably what most would have viewed as the weakest SEC one-loss team would be Ole Miss. Here they are.
Yep. Now, I think that's fair.
But we would also have said Texas A&M. Yes. I don't know. This was always my deal with Ole Miss. I never really went super passionate on it because I really don't like. I want my wife to be happy. I like when my dad gets to go see a big win. I really do not care what happens to them one way or the other. I thought they were getting nitpicked, and I think it's the – I love them to death, but the Bud Elliotts of the world, like, for whatever reason, they did not think this team was good, And I use the clear example of when Georgia beat Florida in Jacksonville. Remember, they have the big comeback.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost celebrated. Like, what a gritty, tough win. Ole Miss beats Florida in the same fashion. Everybody's like, you see that, man? Like that? I don't know if you saw that final score. That was not indicative of the way the game was. And I'm just sitting there going, hold on a second. Florida basically had 60% of their yards gained in one quarter. Like, there was a bad quarter that Ole Miss played, but they still won by double figures. Like, why are we acting like one win is different than the other? I think there probably needs to be a deeper dive of just because you're in this league, let's see who you beat, and let's see like what it looked like.
I would fall in the I didn't think Ole Miss was this good category. I thought Georgia would handle them.
Let me be clear. If you're asking me, did I believe Ole Miss was going to be playing on Thursday night, my answer would have been no. Did I think that Ole Miss was good enough to be a top 12 team? Yes. And I thought they were consistently getting picked over in a fashion that was unfair to them.
The only team, to be honest, once Alabama lost to Oklahoma or to Georgia in the fashion that they did, I'm like, why are they getting this love? The team that I got some people in Norman really liked me, but how are they feeling now? The one team that I just couldn't get over was Oklahoma. I'm like, why are they getting this pass? Like, I never said it about Ole Miss.
And it's simply because
because
they beat Alabama?
Beat by Alabama, a team that we now find
what's the
out
common
is
denominator
wildly
throughout?
Flawed. And it's like, your one win where you had a 5% post-game win expectancy got you into this thing when you struggled against a completely depleted LSU team. You needed a broken coverage late in that game. And I'm just like sitting there, I'm like, why are we talking about Oklahoma having not only a straight path to the playoff, but they're getting to play a home game? I just didn't get it.
No, and but, I will also add this before we take a quick break. I do think this is where SEC propaganda works, and no other league is as unified of, well, a 10-2 SEC team must be as good, regardless of if it's a rival, whatnot. Like, you think about it, you think if, let's say, Indiana's still the favorite, right, to win it all?
Correct, yep.
Do you think all of a sudden Tony Petitti's going to say, Indiana, here's a seat at the table with Michigan and Ohio State, now that you've won a national championship? Like, that league exists to, like, be their league, Ohio State and Michigan, whereas in the SEC, it's a little bit more democratic. It's like, you know, all for one, one for all. But because of that, it creates also the talking points and the rallying points, and everyone kind of bands together, all for one, one for all. And I think that is kind of tough to ignore.
Greg Sankey, and it's his job. I'm not poking fun, but it is hilarious now to think back to the day of the SEC championship game when he said seven teams from the SEC should be in the playoff.
No, I mean, it's, and again,
this is a bigger question though, moving forward.
All right.
We got, does, and I think it's a skewed number because of last year and the fact that every single team that played in the first round was actually favored against the teams off of bye.
Correct.
So the 1-7 number is a bit blown out of proportion. That said, does that 1-7 number and this year where Notre Dame, Ole Miss, Vandy, BYU, or not Ole Miss, excuse me, Texas, Vandy, BYU, all, do we get a push to 16 next year? And would a team like, I know Indiana won big, but a team like Indiana will get to play James Madison as opposed to not playing at all. We'll get a home game. We'll get that extra cash influx as well. Do we see a more push towards 16 this offseason because of 2 years?
So what's interesting is one would play 16.
Correct.
Two would play
Indiana.
Right.
Indiana would have
here's,
played James
here's
Madison.
The problem. Two would play 15.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already established they're only letting in one G6 team next year.
Probably.
No, I think that's been decided. I mean, I guess if they go to 16 and they have to rework it, but that has been decided.
ACC, did you see their schedule next year?
The problem is that 15 team is going to be like
good.
Texas.
I know.
So your reward and like what would how would they have differentiated between would Ohio State have dropped to 3 in that scenario? Like I don't know. Like I do think
Ole Miss would have hosted Notre Dame.
I mean, this all comes back to everyone's
awesome.
Mad at the wrong person. Everyone should be mad at the ACC.
Yes.
The ACC would have gotten this. Miami is clearly the best team in the ACC. If you would have put them in the game, they would have won the game. They would have been in here. We would have had Notre Dame as the 11 seed, and we really wouldn't have had that much of an issue. But
it's
also,
like the butterfly effect, man.
Well, to your point, though, about the byes, they are 1-7. Favorites are 5-3, though.
No, I know. It's a very skewed number.
And by the way, that includes Texas Tech, who flipped to a favorite game day.
Correct, yeah.
So the only two favorites to outright lose in 2 years are Georgia and Ohio State this year.
Ohio State this year did finish 2 in the rankings, and they would have faced, I guess technically would have faced Tulane this year, or it would have been Utah if you only let one G5 in. I just think it'd be great for the sport. I was all in favor of 12. I think...
You're not going to change my opinion.
I'm still fine with 12, but I think there's a little of FOMO from these top four teams. Like, but we want a home game. That's
no,
cool.
I definitely think that there's that. All right, we have got to take a break. Let's do that. We'll come back and hand out some quick awards from the quarterfinals. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM. Yes.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100+ meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
All right, Tim, we have now seen the quarterfinals, and I want to, obviously it's an abbreviated version of the awards. It's a little bit tougher to do, but I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Who did you think was the team of the quarterfinals?
Man.
I think there are actually three legitimate options.
I'll say it's Ole Miss. They were, touchdown underdogs, 6.5 to be exact. Down 21-12. Kirby Smart had won 53 straight games when winning at halftime, 75 straight games winning entering the fourth quarter. And I didn't think the Ole Miss defense was great, but it was better than what it was earlier in the year.
So, you know what was interesting about it? Watching the game, I thought Ole Miss's defense was good, but I thought they were situationally bad. Like, they were, the first time they played Georgia, there were guys, they weren't even in the same zip code as some of the defenders. They were missing some tackles, but overall, like, they were getting pressure. Their line was making things happen, creating havoc, but they weren't really getting the results. And then what stood out to me in the second, right when the second half started, was Ole Miss really controlled the line of scrimmage, because we always talk about being on the wrong end of this one. How about this SP Plus post-game win expectancy? Ole Miss had a 98.1% post-game win expectancy, according to Bill Conley, and they were 2 yards away from losing the game.
That's stunning. I mean, because Miami had I disagree with Bill's numbers on this one. I didn't think Miami was – I thought Miami was the better team than Ohio State. And it was just kind of the way that they wanted to play the game. They had a 30% post-game win expectancy. That was
one of those ones, because I went to look at that. I was like, I did not feel like that watching the game. I know, obviously, when you get a defensive score, it skews it big time. But if you really think about it, on every critical down, Ohio State was not good on third down offensively. Miami was very good on third down. It was like every time Miami had to have a play, they made it, and every time Ohio State had to have one, they did.
So I give it to Ole Miss, and I'm curious to hear your answer, because you could obviously give it to Indiana.
Yes.
They just went out and absolutely – they went to the Rose Bowl. They were touchdown favorites over Alabama, and they came out and absolutely annihilated them. I mean, just ruthlessly obliterated.
They made them quit.
They outgained them 407-193. I mean, I guess I'm being a little cute giving it to Ole Miss, because it really should be Indiana.
To me, it's like, I think those are the three options. With all due respect to Oregon, like, you were on the field while Baron Morton was. Like, that I'm kind of setting that aside. I think Ole Miss won the game of the playoff. I mean, that's one of the best college football games I've ever watched.
Incredible.
I said that before I to my wife before I knew the result was going to make her happy, which she, by the way, quit on the game. She couldn't take it. She quit. When they went for it on 4th-and-1 to start the second half and didn't get it, she just like, I'm going to bed. She's like, I'm not watching this. I can't stand it. I think we're at the point where we have to ask, is Indiana what we build Ohio State to be? Despite the fact that they were the number one team and they played Ohio State head-to-head and won the game.
So I'm having a little tricky. We could talk more about this next hour, because I know we're kind of looking back, but Indiana, Oregon is really interesting to me in this regard. Indiana closed as a 6.5-point underdog at Autzen. They were the better team. They won the game. And now they're a 3.5-point favorite. And I'll be honest, neighbor Nick over here is telling me that Indiana's a runaway freight train and they can't be stopped. So
let's save that. Let's save that for what we think about the Lions, because you've sniffed that one out for me.
Oh yeah.
All right. Heisman winner of the quarterfinals.
Trinidad.
Is there another? Are we missing an obvious answer? Because he blacked out. He blacked out in the second half.
Nah, I mean that second. I mean he looked like Michael Vick in Madden 2004. Like you could not stop that dude. And like that was like I was sitting in the sports book. I had Georgia -6.5, which I knew was a loser, but I also had Georgia in a money line parlay with Indiana. And when Gunnar Stockton threw that pass into the end zone, whether it's Bobo's fault, Kirby's fault, Gunner's fault, I was like, game's over. Like they just gave Superman 50 seconds, and they've got Brandon Aubrey Jr. kicking field goals. Like they're going to win. Well, Ole Miss is going to win.
My thing is, I thought that was dumb, too. I thought, like, I get it where they were at the
Once
six.
Once Ole Miss used that last time out, I'm
correct.
Like, you can't
you
throw
have,
unless he's like Taco Dowler last night, butt naked in the end zone.
It has to be so wide open that, like, that was not an open throw. Yes, could he have maybe gotten a hand on it? Sure, but it was well covered. Yes. That was the you have to run it. Now, equally as dumb, Tim, it was 3rd and 6. At what, George, the 29? How the hell are you essentially going man free? Like, basically, put Trips to one side, the safety's in the middle of the field. It was basically cover zero.
Well, the odd part
to me... On 3rd and 6 with no timeout, like, what are you doing?
The odd part to me was, without timeouts, Ole Miss ran the ball on 2nd down. I'm like, are they conceding?
I think what they were doing was we can't give Georgia the ball back. And I think they're doing the move of, let's run it here. We still control the clock. We're going to throw it the next 3 downs or 2 downs. But, like, we cannot punt the ball back to them and have them get a chance at a field goal. Like, they did the thing that Kirby didn't do.
Right.
And so, and then, obviously, Stribling makes an unbelievable play. But, like, that was why they went man there. Like, that was unbelievable to me. All right. Dumpster fire of the week. Tim, are you ready? Because I believe I tweeted it or texted you this on Saturday.
Is there any other answer than
Baron Morton? It's not even just their offense. It is Baron Morton in general. EPA per play of quarterbacks in playoff games. So that goes back to what was 2014, our first playoff. There have been 86 starts. -0.9 EPA per play. That is dead last. And not even close. He is a full 0.2 further away from JT Barrett, who got beat, I believe, 36-0 when they played Clemson?
Yeah. Was that the championship?
That was the Fiesta Bowl that was like where Urban's on the golf cart eating the pizza. It was true. And it was one of those ones where I would mention this yesterday. If you really wanted to get a sense of how bad it was, you needed to watch the Skycast, because you could see when they were right.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.